Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to see everyone here. We appreciate very much your presence. Robert Frost once said that half the world is composed of people who have something to say and can't, and the other half who have nothing to say and keep on saying it. That really kind of speaks to the world that we live in, and yet Mr. Frost wrote that many years ago. The world hasn't changed. You look throughout all that we read in the Scriptures and we see that the problems with the tongue, speaking when we shouldn't, saying things that we should not, is nothing new. Gossip is now a multi-billion dollar industry. When you look at things, whether it's the National Enquirer and all of the gossip magazines that you find at the checkout counter of your local stores, or you turn on your TV and you see things such as Entertainment Tonight and a host of other shows that are focused primarily on gossip. And then you get to the news programs that are supposed to be about the news, and yet the majority of them, whether it's in print or online or on your television sets, they are focused on gossip. Speech is human nature. And when it is used in the way that God desires, that God intended, it would alleviate the necessity of preaching on the dangers of the tongue. And yet we find throughout the Scriptures the idea that the tongue is a very dangerous thing. As we see in our Scripture reading, it's compared to being worse than the wildest of animals, that all of the animals of this earth have been tamed, can be tamed, and have been tamed, but no one can tame the tongue. It's compared to a wildfire that can bring death and destruction upon all that are around it. You could really look at it as, I kind of think about it as dynamite. And whenever I think of dynamite, I don't think of the modern ways of using dynamite. I always think back to the old westerns my dad watched and that I enjoyed watching with him. And you see them carrying nitroglycerin in these little glass vials, and they have them packed in hay all around them, separate little containers for each one. And then that would be hung by a rope, and it was on a wagon, and they'd have special springs on there that would handle the bouncing even better. And yet with that, they would just creep along, slowly moving. And no matter how much care and concern they gave, something always happened. Same thing, you can remember various TV shows where they're dealing with dynamite and they wrap it, they care for it, and because it's one of the most dangerous substances. The idea is what we find with the tongue. It would do well if we would think of our tongue as danger, highly explosive, and damaging. David said in the 39th Psalm, there in verse 1, he said, "I will guard my ways that I will not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle while the wicked are in my presence." Think of the frame of mind that David says, I'm going to be in. I'm going to watch everything that I say. I'm going to keep myself from saying things that I should not. Scripture clearly condemns, warns, and is full of examples of the dangers of an unbridled tongue. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul, there writing to the church in Corinth about his return, he says in chapter 12 and verse 20, he says, "For I'm afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you to be not what I wish, and may be found by you to be not what you wish, that perhaps there will be strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, slanders, gossip, arrogance, disturbances." There was a problem with the church in Corinth, a problem that he had tried to deal with, but he was afraid that they hadn't made the changes that they needed to be, that needed to be made. David wrote again in the 34th Psalm, there in verse 13, he says, "Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit." The tongue, as we see in James chapter 3, is a deadly poison. It's a fountain of either for good or bad. It can't be a fountain for both. Solomon, and the wisdom that he collected in Proverbs chapter 26, there in verse 20, we see that for lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisperer, contention quiets down. Like charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. You see, that's why it's a billion-dollar business. Because people want to hear things about others. They want to feel better about themselves by speaking of or hearing the negative qualities of others or the things that have gone wrong in others' lives. I believe there are many today who are quick to judge and condemn others by talking about them. The perceived anonymity of your online presence, of being able to say things without any consequence. And yet, how many stories do we see on the news where there's children in school that have been bullied, and really the bullying is nothing more than gossiping about them, spreading things about them, and they've committed suicide or their lives have been destroyed in one way or another. You see, we find ourselves in a position where in the day that we're living today, it is easier than ever before to spread gossip, to spread lies, to participate in the evil that is going around. I came across a cartoon years ago that said, digging for the facts is better than jumping to conclusions. We live in an age, those who are partaking in social media, where all you have to do is hit this share button, and whatever you're reading instantly goes out to everyone that you know. And we don't realize that that goes beyond just the ones that we know, and it can be spread further. And we play a part in that if we don't check to make sure that the things that we're presenting is true. And if we don't, we're just passing along gossip. Tyron Edwards said, "To murder character is truly a crime as to murder the body. The tongue of the slanderer is both his brother to the dagger of the assassin." I mean, stop and think about that for a minute. That sounds pretty extreme, but is it not true? Alan Barth said that character assassination is at once easier and surer than the physical assault, and it involves far less risk for the assassin. It leaves him free to commit the same deed over and over again, and may indeed win him honors of a hero even on the country of his victims. It is easy to say something and destroy someone's life. I was having a discussion with a preacher, and he was one who would just kind of throw out blanket statements about individuals and not really quantify what he was saying. I was like, "Do you realize that you can destroy a man by spreading what is in fact a lie and presenting it as truth?" He was one of the biggest gossips I've ever come across in my life, because he not only did it in the church building and in his private life, but he spread the lies online. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They're fun to listen to, aren't they? It's enjoyable to listen to and to partake and to spread things about people that maybe we don't like. Maybe we want them to be brought down a peg or two, and so we think this is good. It will help humble them. But what in fact we are doing is committing the sin of gossip. We're not only destroying them potentially, but we're destroying our influence as Christians, and we're destroying our hope of life eternal. When you look at the descriptions that we've talked about being likened to assassins, you would think that gossip would be something that would never be found within the local church. Unfortunately, I am sure that at one time or another, and probably more frequently than we would like to admit, we have all been guilty of spreading a little gossip. So our goal this morning is to look at the subject of gossip, to look at the destructive nature of the tongue, and to attempt to instruct us in how to better rule this unruly member of our body. Look again in James chapter 3 and verse 7. "For every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue." We need to be careful in our lives and our speech. Not only, and understand, when I'm talking about speech today, I'm not just talking about the words that proceed from your mouth, because our speech is so much more prevalent today. It can go through our fingers, just through our thumbs, just taking your phone and tapping out a few things, and you can spread gossip to a friend just through texting or posting on various forms of social media. We need to watch not only the words that are proceeding out of our mouth, but that are going through our mind and proceeding through our typing or presenting or even just hitting that beautiful little share button. And so let's begin our lesson this morning by looking at what gossip is. It's defined as a person, used as a noun, describing a person who habitually reveals personal or sensational facts about others. You can be known as a gossip. But we find it is also defined as a rumor or report of an intimate nature. Wikipedia gives this as a description of gossip. It says it's idle talk or rumor, especially about the personal or private affairs of others. The idea of gossip is that it's personal information that's not meant for public consumption. Gossiping is more than just chatting among friends about your lives. It's spreading secrets or intimate details of others. It allows lies and rumors to spread further, and it destroys lives. What was it, the old cartoon character, Snuffy Smith? I forget the cartoon, but it always depicted his wife and their neighbor going out to the gossip fence. And that's oftentimes the way that it was looked at, is two ladies going out, the washing is behind them, and they're at the gossip fence. And we oftentimes look at it and think, it's a female problem. But it happens in locker rooms. It happens at the water cooler, at business meetings. We can all be guilty. And it's interesting when you look at the terms that are used throughout the Scripture to refer to gossip. Let's look at some of these different terms that are found throughout the Scriptures. We can see the slanderer. The one who slanders speaks lies about someone else. The talebearer, the bearer of lies that's going around spreading these things. The whisperer. You know, there's a time and place for whispering. There's a time where it would be appropriate, but we need to make sure that we're not taking part in the whispering where it's spreading stories or information about individuals or talking about individuals behind their back. And you know, when I was in high school, there was another way to whisper, and it was the passing of notes, and it became quite the art form of folding up notes and getting it without the teacher seeing it. But now, you can just pop open your phone, and you can start texting one another in the room with others around, and you can gossip about someone with them being right there and not aware. We need to be careful that we're not guilty of being a whisperer. This term, I think, really signifies and is used a couple of times in the Scriptures to refer to those that are using it for evil. It's not just, okay, let's just get together and have a gabfest and let's talk about others, but you're trying to destroy. And the Apostle Paul speaks of you know, this attitude of constantly biting and nipping at one another. And he says, be careful that you don't devour one another. It can destroy a congregation. We see the term busybodies used by the Apostle Paul in writing to Timothy and instructing him about widows. He warns of those who aren't of the proper age and that are taken in by the church and they learn to have a life of leisure. They have no other responsibilities. He says they begin to go house to house becoming busybodies. In other words, they're always seeking out new news, new tales to tell about one another. And then we find the term troublesome meddler. Now let me ask you a question. When you understand the use of the term whisper throughout the Scriptures, are any of these an honorable thing? Are any of these traits that we would want to have in our life? And yet when we're guilty of gossip, when we participate in the action of gossip, we are guilty of so many of these things. Came across a poem years ago entitled, My Name is Gossip. And it goes like this. It says, my name is gossip, I have no respect for justice. I maim without killing, I break hearts and ruin lives. I am cunning and malicious and gather strength with age. The more I am quoted, the more I am believed. I flourish at every level of society. My victims are helpless. They cannot protect themselves against me because I have no name and no face. To track me down is impossible. The harder you try, the more elusive I become. I am nobody's friends. Once I tarnish a reputation, it is never the same. I topple governments and wreck marriages. I ruin careers and cause sleepless nights, headache, and indigestion. I spawn suspicion and generate grief. I make innocent people cry on their pillows. Even my name hisses. I am called gossip. Party gossip. Telephone gossip. And don't forget church gossip. I make headlines and headaches. Before you repeat a story, ask yourself, is it true? Is it fair? Is it necessary? If not, shut up. Gossip is a dangerous practice and one that should be avoided by the Christian. Now we see this as to what gossip is, and let's take the rest of our time this morning and look at what the Scriptures have to say about gossip. If you go back and look in the old law, the law of Moses, in Leviticus 19, there in verse 16, in the law given there to the Levites, it says, you shall not go about as a slanderer among your people, and you are not to act against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that, right? You're not to go around spreading stories. Whether you believe them to be true or not, you are not to go and spread them amongst the people. You're not to go and slander the name of your neighbors, of the people. As you go over and look in the book of Psalms, we find multiple times where the psalmist speaks on this subject. In Psalm 15, there in verse 1, it says, O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend. Who can dwell on God's holy hill? Who can abide in the tent, the tabernacle, the temple of God? Only those who don't go around slandering, who don't go around telling tales about others. Now that's a pretty serious thing. Who can dwell in the presence of God? Those who don't participate in gossip. In the 101st Psalm there, in Psalm 101 and verse 5, it says, whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. Do you think God's pretty serious about it? The next time we think, oh, yeah, I'd love to tell you this juicy little tidbit. Think, God, those who go around who secretly slander their neighbor, God will destroy. No one who has a haughty look and an arrogant heart will I endure. Think about how the psalmist presents God's attitude toward the spreading of gossip. Solomon was an individual who sought out every pleasure known to man. And one of those pleasures is gossip. And in all of his seeking and learning, he recognized what he should and should not be doing. And as we read in the wisdom of Solomon there in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 10, there in verse 18, it says, he who conceals hatred has lying lips, and he who spreads slander is a fool. Note, Solomon doesn't mince words about this. In Proverbs 11 and verse 13, it says, he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. He's saying one who goes about spreading what he hears is not someone who can be trusted. And we should all, as Christians, strive to be someone who is desiring to be trusted. Trusted by God, trusted by our fellow Christians, trusted by all that are around. We should be trustworthy individuals. In Proverbs 16, there in verse 28, it says, a perverse man spreads strife. And a slanderer separates intimate friends. It amazes me, and I see this over and over in every avenue of social media. The people that I'm friends with from high school, and it's amazing to see how many of them never got out of high school. They're still there gossiping and trying to ruin one another and trying to tear others down so that they can make themselves feel better. A slanderer separates intimate friends. All it takes is one little word said at the right time, and you can destroy a lifelong friendship. You can destroy the closest of relationships. You can destroy even the intimacy of a marriage by spreading something that is not true. In Proverbs 18 and verse 8, Again, we see the words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. You see, they are desirable. There's something that we long for, and it's hard to resist because it's so tasty, because it makes us feel better about ourselves. But as Christians, we should be avoiding those things. Solomon goes on in Proverbs 20 and verse 19. He says, "He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with gossip." There it is. Not only should we not be partaking in gossip, but also we shouldn't be associating with those who are spreading the gossip. We should walk away. In Proverbs 25 and verse 23, Solomon again writes, he says, "The north wind brings forth rain and a backbiting tongue, an angry countenance," that desire to destroy one another. In verse 22, "The words of a whisper are like dainty morsels," as we've already read, "and they go down into the innermost parts of the body." You will never find, throughout the entirety of the Old Testament, someone guilty of gossip or participating in gossip or speaking pro-gossip. It's just not there. You'll not find someone who's pleasing to God that is partaking in these things, that continues in this. It always brings destruction. Not only destruction in our relationship with God, but destruction of people here on this earth. But what does the New Testament have to say? As Paul is writing to the Christians there in Rome, he warns of those who had turned away from God. And he uses gossip as one who is guilty of a depraved mind. Look with me, if you would, in Romans chapter 1, there beginning in verse 28. Romans chapter 1, Paul writes in verse 28, he says, "And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind, to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but they also give hearty approval to those who practice them." Now stop and think about what the Apostle Paul is presenting here. He's talking about those who have turned away from God, those who have become debased in their own mind. There's no love, there's no compassion. And that's what gossip is. It's a lack of love, it's a lack of concern, it's a lack of compassion. You have no love for the ones that you're speaking of. You have no desire for them to be what they need to be. Instead, you are without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, and unmerciful. Should that ever be the quality of a Christian? And we see that gossip and slander is right there in the midst of murder, strife, unrighteousness, wickedness, evil. We may think it's a small little thing, but God does not view it that way. There's no such thing as light and easy gossip. It's bringing about destruction. Paul wrote of his concern of the members of the church at Thessalonica. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, there in verse 11, Paul says, "For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies." Their only goal was to go about and to see and hear and pass on the things that they were hearing of others. They were constantly seeking out the lives of others and finding things that they could store and spread and use against one another. It's amazing to see the attitude of individuals towards their fellow Christians and their desire to bring destruction. Instead of helping them, instead of building them up, they want to tear one another down. As you go on in 1 Timothy chapter 5, there, Paul is instructing the young preacher Timothy in how to encourage and to help and to build one another up. He teaches of the dangers of the widows who are there that are being helped by the church, the danger of them having too much time on their hands. If you look in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 11, speaking of those that would be added to the number, that would be taken care of by the local congregation, he says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 11, "Refuse to put younger widows on the list, For when they feel sensual desires in disregard of Christ, they want to get married, thus incurring condemnation, because they have set aside their previous pledge. At the same time, they also learn to be idle as they go round from house to house, and not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. Therefore, I want the younger widows to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach. For some have already turned aside to follow Satan. I think we can see a lesson that we all could learn. It's not just a lesson, therefore, for younger widows and their need to go about and to build their lives and keep themselves active in their service to God and not find themselves idle. We live in a time where there's more free time than ever before. Do we not? I mean, our homes are filled with time-saving devices. And so it gives us more time to sit down and participate in gossip, to become idle. What's the old phrase, idle hands are a devil's workshop? Well, it's the same with an idle mind and an idle tongue. But we're not keeping an eye on the things that we're saying. Again, the wise man wrote throughout the book of Proverbs the need to watch the tongue. We see James talking about the danger of the tongue. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 15, he says, make sure that none of you suffer as a murderer or thief or evildoer or a troublesome meddler. We might think, why would that be in the same category? Remember, we read at the beginning of our lesson that the quote that the gossip is equal to an assassin. The scriptures liken murder and gossip or troublesome meddler in the same category. John wrote a stinging rebuke against Diotrephes. Diotrephes had turned everyone against, spreading lies about the apostle and others who were coming to preach and teach the gospel and trying to refuse them. And John says in 3 John, there in the 10th verse, he says, for this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words. And not satisfied with this, he himself does not receive the brethren either, and he forbids those who desire to do so and puts them out of the church. John quite pointedly says, I'm going to call Diotrephes out for his lying, his gossip, his spreading, his slander. It's good for us to think about these things and to focus on what the Scriptures have to say. We again, oftentimes look at this as not really that big of a deal, but it is. Gossip is evil. Gossip is not an innocent little thing. It brings destruction. And we may not intend to harm someone, but through our own negligence, through the lack of guarding of our tongue, we can bring destruction of character, which is worse than killing someone. We need to put gossip in the same category that the Scriptures do and try our best to avoid it. Again, it's a tasty thing and it's something that is desirable, but it's something that needs to be avoided. It's something that we need to make sure that we're not striving after in our own life, that we're not participating. And as we'll see this evening, not only that we're not participating in speaking or spreading these things, but that we're not encouraging others in the spreading of gossip as well. As we see there in Proverbs 26 and verse 22, the words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. But no matter how tasty it might seem to be, it is a deadly poison that brings destruction not only to the ones that are being talked about, but it brings destruction on those who are listening and those who are speaking this gossip. Lord willing, this evening we'll look at this subject some more and see some more in how we can guard against these things and why it's so important that we strive to avoid being partakers in gossip.